This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. On Friday, February 2nd, Jewish students on more than a dozen college campuses across the United States organized Shabbat for Ceasefire events to sing, pray, and perform their tradition to call for an end to Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Jewish Voice for Peace, which helped organize the events, said, quote, "Rather than seeing their Jewish identity and organizing for a ceasefire as somehow at odds, these Jewish students center Tikkun Olam, repairing the world, as a core tenet of the Judaism, which compels them to organize for a ceasefire in Gaza and a free Palestine." My guest is Ellis Bereson-Sher, a junior at Bryn Mawr College, who's majoring in sociology with a minor in religion. She's active with Jewish Voice for Peace and also been active with Students for Justice in Palestine. Welcome to the program, Ellis.
Thanks so much for having me.
So for those of us who are not familiar with the concept of Shabbat, tell me a little bit about what that is and why these events were organized under the banner of calling for a ceasefire.
Yeah, so Shabbat happens every Friday night from sundown to sundown on the next day on Saturday. And we light the Shabbat candles to welcome in Shabbat, and it's traditionally a day of rest. And we also sing blessings over the Shabbat candles, over the challah bread, and over wine. And so we hosted this anti-Zionist Shabbat for Ceasefire at Bryn Mawr's campus, because as the Jewish Voice for Peace quote, already said, we truly believe that the Judaism that we practice is in line with values of Tikkun Olam, making the world a better place, and of being in solidarity with oppressed peoples all over the world. And so there's really a necessity to center that need to be in solidarity with Palestinians right now and amplify their call for an immediate ceasefire. And there's also a need for specific anti-Zionist Jewish spaces on campus, because there are many Jewish students on campus who really don't feel welcome in other institutional Jewish spaces like Hillel and Chabad because of their support for Zionism. And we need spaces where we are able to practice our tradition, practice our faith in a way that does not compromise our morals, does not compromise our ethics, and remains committed to Palestinian freedom.
So tell me about the event that took place on your campus. For our TV audience, I've been showing some photos from various campuses around the country, including yours. Tell me what happened at Bryn Mawr College's campus last Friday. Paint a picture of what happened, because it is a really painful time for people, for everyone who cares about what's happening in Gaza. I imagine for young Jewish students like yourself, in whose name the Israeli government claims to be doing this, it might be particularly painful.
Yeah, it is particularly painful. It's a time of immense grief, and we center that grief at our Shabbat. This was a gathering of about 20 students. So we came together in a dorm common room, and we had a service that I'd put together, and we sang our blessings over the candles and over the bread and the grape juice. And at the end, we sang the Mourner's Kaddish. Before singing all of these blessings, we put them into the context of why we were there today, having an anti-Zionist Shabbat. So, for example, we couldn't sing the blessing over the bread without acknowledging that right now in Gaza, Palestinians are being starved. Palestinians don't have access to bread or access to water, and we understand that pain, because our cultural history, our ancestry is from a line of people who understand that you don't have time to break bread or to bake bread when you're fleeing oppression. You don't have access to bread when you're facing state violence. And so putting our cultural and ritual history into that context, and centering Palestinian freedom and our solidarity with Palestinians, was what this service looked like.
Put this also into context with the broader student organizing that's been happening since last October. Campuses around the country in general have been very active around justice for Palestinians, even predating October 7th. And since October 7th last year, how has that gotten more, how's the engagement increased, or has it increased?
Yeah, so college campuses historically are spaces where social justice movements are often at the forefront. So like when we think of the movement to end apartheid in South Africa, student organizing was at the forefront of making that happen. And so we're following in that tradition. And I think Students for Justice in Palestine has always followed in that tradition. And there's certainly been a lot more activity with Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voice for Peace since October 7th. There's been especially increased organizing and demand around divestment, because divestment is a really critical tool to helping end the U.S.-Israeli alliance. And so, yeah, a lot of the kind of increased action and involvement around student organizing and campus activism, I think, has been around the demand for institutional divestment.
Now, there's been a lot of attacks, especially against Students for Justice in Palestine. A lot of Muslim students or Palestinian Americans have, of course, been targeted. How have Jewish American students been in solidarity with them and also been targeted themselves? I mean, it's not like anti-Semitism is over, sadly.
Yeah. So at Jewish Voice for Peace, we really believe in the power of collective liberation. We believe that safety comes in solidarity between people. And that's something that I've really been able to see firsthand with my involvement in Students for Justice in Palestine, because it's an interfaith collective of people, and we come together because we love each other and we care about each other, and we believe in freedom and dignity for all of us, and we want to see that implemented. And so that's really what calls me to this work, and I know that anti-Semitism is still a very real, but I truly believe that the call to collective liberation, the call to working in solidarity with Palestinian students and Muslim students, goes hand in hand with the fight against anti-Semitism.
Now, there's also this broader issue of the support among Jewish Americans for the war in Israel. There is definitely a generational divide, at least as polls show, that younger Jewish folks in the U.S., perhaps around the world as well, have a different view, are much more pro-Palestinian than their older peers, than their maybe parents. How do you explain this divide? And do you feel that it's even really getting much attention in the press, that young Jews like you are being left out of the narrative?
So I do think there's an issue of anti-Zionist Jews in general being left out of the narrative, which comes from constantly being told that, you know, we're like not fully Jewish, or that our anti-Zionism compromises our Jewish identity, which is just incredibly false. And I think the generational divide follows a kind of general trend of younger generations having somewhat of a stronger commitment to social justice and moving left in general. And I think that's a good thing, and I think it deserves more attention. I was recently interviewed by the Inquirer in Philadelphia about young activists and how that's going to affect the polls and Biden's election that's coming up. And so I think there's especially increased attention to young voices like mine in terms of US electoral politics, but I think it deserves attention across the board.
And speaking of the election, many do worry that what's happening in Gaza is affecting the US election. And, you know, how can it not, given that the United States is actively funding Israel now and for time immemorial, and is not speaking out, is not taking steps to pull Israel back from committing genocide in Gaza? Biden is losing support among voters. I imagine among young voters in particular, like yourself, that might be particularly true. But then we have, on the other side, Trump, who is, you know, promising to expel pro-Hamas immigrants, which is his view of what pro-Palestinian Americans might be like. So do you have any thoughts about this election coming forward and how it's going to be very difficult, you know, a liberal backer of genocide versus an out-and-out fascist authoritarian who surrounds himself with Islamophobes and anti-Semites?
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are that the Democratic Party and Biden and every elected official in office right now needs to be doing absolutely everything in their power to implement a ceasefire in Israel and stop the U.S. funding of this genocide that has to this day led to the murder of over 27,000 Palestinians. And that's really all I can call for right now. And I can call for every American to be pressuring all of their politicians to be doing that.
What do you think is going to take here in the United States to end U.S. support for Israel, to, you know, at least pull it back? The U.S. has ostensibly leverage over Israel, although it seems to never exercise that. And traditionally, you know, when you've had masses and masses of people out on the streets, you might see some pressure, but people have been active. US media have not necessarily been covering them, especially mainstream media. The New York Times doesn't like to show in as much or give as much credence to and much weight to critical protests against Israel as it does to the pro-Israeli voices. What will it take?
No, I think there's historical precedent for great change like this happening. I really do believe that ending the U.S.-Israeli alliance is possible because activists, organizers, protesters have been putting pressure on politicians for all of U.S. history to make change. And that is what makes change, that pressure, that continuous fighting for what we believe in. And so it may be a slow process, but it's certainly gaining momentum, and it's not stopping anytime soon. And I really don't believe that it's going to stop until we see that alliance ended.
Give out a website, Ellis, for any work that you might be doing, either your local chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace or the national chapter. Where do you recommend people can get good information about what's happening?
Yeah, I think Jewish Voice for Peace is a great resource. They have an Instagram if you're interested in the work that my chapter is doing. We also have an Instagram. It's called BICO, B-I-C-O, J-V-P, because we operate between Bryn Mawr and Haverford colleges. But yeah, I really encourage people to read and listen to the voices of Palestinians and read books written by Palestinians and do research on Palestinian activists, because they know their history, they know it best. And I think for many Jewish people, learning directly from Palestinians is the way that we come to understand that anti-Zionism is the only way forward.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ellis. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Ellis Barrison Scher, a junior at Bryn Mawr College, majoring in sociology with a minor in religion. She's been active with Jewish Voice for Peace and Students for Justice in Palestine. And she, alongside dozens of other students at over a dozen campuses in the United States, last Friday marked a Shabbat for ceasefire. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.